Thanks for tuning in to Jet Nation. You are listening to Joe Vinny and the Jets. Be sure to follow us at Jet Nation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And check out our forums. Jet Nation is your home for uncensored Jets talk. Now, here's your hosts, Joe Blewett and Vinny Blataraka.
And welcome to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am joined by my good friend, Vinny Blataraka. What is up, man? Congratulations, by the way, on your last Seton Hall game. And you had said in Omaha, as we were talking before, so you get a little bit of applause for that. Hopefully it works.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to work, but that's okay. Another day. Hey. Five, 6 seconds too late, but congratulations to you on that, man. How was that for you?
Yeah, it was fun, you know. I work at my radio station here at school at Seton Hall, and I got to go out to Nebraska when we just played Creighton. It was a big game. It was a really big game right now. Well, as it stands right now, we're looking to make the, you know, if the season ended today, Seton Hall would be in the national tournament for the first time in 10 years. So, I mean, it's a pretty big deal around here. But, you know, that was fun. You know, the big game tomorrow night versus Marquette. But, you know, right now it's Jets football. I mean, you know, I'm trying to get back into the, you know, the swing of things here in the off season. But so far, you know, so far so good, buddy.
Yeah, so before we start, I'd like to thank Nick, who's always doing the production in the background, running the Twitter for us, and the call screening during the show and all that. So we'd like to thank Nick. There you go. It works when he does it right away, I guess. Everybody check JetNation.com forums out. They're exploding every week. Literally getting millions of people every single month now, I believe it is, or week or whatever it was. I heard and saw the stats the other day, so that's crazy. So go there. There's a ton of Jets topics to talk about. We'd like to thank all the callers and fans, and I'm not going to give out numbers or anything, but for the fans, we're getting a lot of fans right now for the off season, and it's awesome to know that you guys are still listening during the off season when football isn't even going on. So we appreciate every single person who listens. One quick reminder, if you want anything to be covered on the show, or you want to get us to cover specific people or people in the draft or whatever it is, you can always email me at joeandvinny@jetnation.com and send us, you know, topics you'd like to discuss, your name, et cetera. Tonight we have a lot to talk about, Vinny. We're going to talk about some of the major weaknesses on the team. We gave out grades and all that last few weeks and talk about some of the free agents, but we're really going to point out the major weaknesses on this team, get into a little bit more about Sheldon talk. We have some interesting comments from guys like Bart Scott. This whole Kaepernick thing happened about an hour ago, but it's written by Manish Mehta, so you know how much I credit him. So I don't think it's really that true, but we'll discuss some Kaepernick and what you think about that. And obviously, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl that's coming up on Sunday. So it's going to be a fun show, Vinny. You know, what do you want to get into first, man? Do you want to do the weaknesses on the team? Do you want to start off with some other things and work our way into it? What do you want to do here, man?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's better off to, you know, start at the lowest point of the show, meaning the weaknesses. So I would, start on a negative note and end with the, you know, and probably with the Super Bowl, you know.
Yeah, and then we have some other things, like I said, to go over with Bart Scott, Jets meeting with Aaron Henderson, Kaepernick, potential Kaepernick on the Jets. We'll see. Ivory. We have some things to talk about, so it should be another fun show. As we slowly start to peek our head into some potential free agents and even some potential draft picks, not too much. We're going to start to peek our head into that a little bit,
start to get into
the draft a little bit, knowing that the draft is coming up soon. And really quick before we do get into the weaknesses, Vinny, I just want to point out some key dates. I believe Rich Cimini posted this somewhere, but you can go find it. But February 8th is the waiver period where teams cut people, which is it's rare for that to happen unless somebody has, you know, another couple of $100,000 or $1 million coming by a certain date. But other than that, you don't really see too many cuts there. February 8th. February 16th, teams have a two-week window to franchise players a la Muhammad Wilkerson. So from February 16th to March 1st is when we'd have to tag him by. So that's another date to remember. That's coming up very, very soon. It's going to be a huge topic in the next couple of weeks. February 23rd to the 29th is the NFL Combine, and then March 6th to the 9th is the quote-unquote legal tampering period, which the Jets almost got in trouble with last year with Revis. And then March 9th at 4 p.m. is NFL free agency. So it's coming. It's only February 2nd right now, but it's coming fast. You're going to have the Combine and all this stuff coming up. So we're getting to the thick of football things right about now in the coming weeks. So it's going to be a fun time. But, Vinny, we pretty much agree on the weaknesses of this team. We're going to say linebacker. We're going to talk about tight end. We're going to talk about offensive line. But I want to talk about maybe a potential replacement or a couple of replacements and then some even guys in the draft you can look at early. So let's start off, I guess, with tight end, actually, because that's a weakness I think that people aren't talking about as much as, you know, offensive line and outside linebacker. We've been talking about outside linebacker and the offensive line so much that we've kind of glazed over tight end a little bit. But would you like to see the Jets, you know, sign somebody in free agency? Would you like to see them go after a guy in the first couple of rounds? Overall, what do you think about the tight end position? Do you think we're fine with Amaro coming back and Enunwa being there? Or, you know, overall, how do you see the position in 2015 and then heading into 2016? What you would like to do with that?
Well, let's just go back 1 week ago to our grade for tight end. And, you know, I'm not the best of students, but I know getting an F is pretty terrible. And that's what the Jets tight end position was. That's how we graded them. But, you know, going forward, I don't think this team is positioned to draft a tight end within until round 4 or 5, maybe. If that, because there's so
and
many
only,
other needs. That, yeah, you know, only if something, you know, only something miraculous would happen and like a player slip up or something like that. But, you know, keep looking through free agents. I mean, there's guys like Jermaine Gresham, like Vernon Davis. But, I mean, you know, obviously a veteran presence who can actually, you know, have some production at a tight end position would be beneficial. You know, we thought – I mean, I don't think any of us thought that was the case with Kellen Davis. But I think if the Jets go out and, you know, maybe, you know, get out some feeler calls to Vernon Davis or Jermaine Gresham, if that would be helpful. Because, again – Quincy Nua, you know, we've been talking about him, you know, this whole season, and that's a name that's going to be up, you know, for a discussion for the next months, you know, next until the season starts. We're going to be talking about Quincy because he's such a versatile guy that he can play tight end, play receiver, but the Jets need it. The Jets need help at tight end. We don't know what we're going to get out of Jason Morrow. You know, obviously, we would love to pencil in Jason Morrow for 40 catches and, you know, X amount of yards, X amount of touchdowns, but we just don't know what the case is with him, because that's an injury that can linger on for a whole career. The shoulder, one bad hit, like he happened in training camp, he's out for the whole year. You know, now it's surgically repaired. You know, God willing, hopefully nothing else happens to that. But that's a position obviously the Jets struggled with last year, where they have like 13 or 14 total catches, something that was just, you know, one of the worst in the league. The position was obviously the worst position on the team. And the Jets need help, Joe. I mean, I like Quincy, I like Jace, but again, this is a team that you may have to go out and sign a veteran, you know, like a Jermaine Gresham for a 1 or 2 year contract. You know, Jermaine Gresham is 27 years old. That's just a name. Obviously, I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
They're still months away. But the Jets need help at tight end position. There's just no doubt about it. Because again, you don't know what's going to happen with Jace tomorrow. Quincy Newell, we would love to see him emerge as a tight end, so to say, but he's just, you know, he's physical, very physical, obviously the most physical, probably the most physical wide receiver / tight end on this team, but they need more. It's plain and simple that this position needs more help.
And I'm the kind of guy who, at least from the top, I think this is kind of an in-house solution where I think that Amaro's coming back, and I know it's a risk, but I think it's a risk you have to take looking at the fact that the Jets' offensive line and outside linebacker are so weak, and they don't have as much money as people think they do when they have, like we said last week, 23 free agents going into this offseason. So you're looking at addressing those positions, re-signing guys like a Snacks Harrison, like a Wilkerson, like a Powell, even lesser guys like Antonio Allen. So I don't think the Jets really have the money to spend on Jermaine Gresham or a guy like that. And if anything, I think it's going to be a guy, like you said, maybe a fourth or fifth rounder, and a guy who mainly blocks, who can catch some passes. Like, honestly, when I thought the Jets signed Kellen Davis, that he's going to be able to block, and they're going to at least put him in the red zone because he's 6'7", and maybe he'll be able to catch a ball over, you know, a 6-foot safety, but he didn't even look capable, so they didn't even do it. So I think Amara comes back. I think, like we've been talking about, and like I've said many times, the whole Chan Gailey doesn't like to use tight ends thing, and look what he did with this year with the Jets, he clearly doesn't, is way overblown because he didn't have tight ends. He had an H-back in Quincy Nunwa. But with Amara coming back, you know, 6'6", gives a big, you know, big range for Fitzpatrick, who's not always the most accurate thrower to throw to. You have him, you have a Nunwa in some sets. I think that those are the top two guys, and I think that maybe the Jets sign a guy, you know, for right around $900,000 to $1 million, whatever the contract is. It's hard to guess when there's nobody names popping into your head, or they draft a guy late to block. But I think the tight end position's an in-house type of thing, where Amaro's coming back, you kind of have to bank on him being healthy and being able to adjust to Chan Gailey's offense. You know, he did sit down in it for a year, so it's not like his first year really going into it. He obviously didn't get to play in it, but he saw it for an entire year, so he should be studying while he's, you know, sitting there injured. So that's my kind of take on it, Vinny. But next we'll move on to let's do outside linebacker. What do you think the outside linebacker position for the Jets looks like next year? You know, we have Maldon, who played 24% of the snaps. I figured out 253 snaps, only 24. He's not on the field for 1/4 of the plays. The guy got 4 sacks, continually got pressure on quarterbacks. He's a third-round pick, so he's going to develop, especially, you know, coming into this year, trying to be a stand-up guy who can cover too. But do you think a Maldon's a starter, and they have to get a guy alongside of him? And if we did, any names you're looking at in maybe free agency or in the draft, or you know, what do you think about this outside linebacker? Do you even think that Maldon could be a full-time starter, or what do you think we should do with this?
Well, you know, I think we're both in agreement that Lorenzo Maldon has to have more snaps next year because of what he did in his limited snaps this year. And then you consider the fact that Calvin Pace is probably not going to be on this roster. And you factor that Demario Davis also is going to be on this roster. There's a lot of, I mean, different positions, same linebacker, but Lorenzo Maldon has to be a starter next year. I think the way this team is set up, like you said, financially, they're kind of strapped at the moment. And they need production. 39 sacks last year, and 12 of those are from Muhammad Wilkerson. So it's 30% of your sacks from a guy who might not be even on this team. So, I mean, the Jets need a guy to emerge, need a guy to step up. And I think Lorenzo Maldon potentially can be that guy. You see when he's on the outside rushing, he gets under the tackles, you know, sometimes very easily. He's a guy who's very strong. We've seen this in college. Coming out of college, I think he was top 20 in the nation in sacks. His senior year at Louisville, I think he had 10.5 sacks last year, and he was playing every down. So I'm not saying this guy's gonna, you know, come in his second year and give us 10.5 to 12 sacks in that area, but he's a guy who could potentially do that. I think with the way this defensive line is set up, the way this secondary is set up, I think if you add help, which the Jets desperately need at the outside linebacker position, you know, I could potentially see them going in the draft to maybe a guy. A local guy, right from New Jersey. He went to Michigan State when he was in college. Is Shalik Calhoun. This is a guy who's
like we said, Vinny, on many times. We could probably throw a baseball almost to his school. Probably about 2 baseball throws to his school. He played basketball.
Yeah,
he actually walked out on North's team like in the middle of a game or something like that. I remember, but
yeah, it was yeah when he was there. Yeah, right in the middle of us. They were playing Christian Brothers Academy. He literally just walked out. But anyways. He's 6'5", 250. I mean, he had 10.5 sacks this year. Just projections. Projections are just a number, but, you know, I've seen him going, you know, mid to late first round. That's just a guy. Jalen Smith, the guy from Notre Dame, he's a little small. I think he's 6'2", 230. But, again, he's a guy who had 100 tackles, 10 tackles for loss. I mean, the Jets need help at outside linebacker, but Lorenzo Maldon's a pretty good place to start when you look at this roster. Considering what this defensive line has, and you know, obviously we think the Jets, we both know they have to re-sign Damon Harrison. So you figure they have him with Leonard Williams, and you know, giving whoever the outside linebackers are one-on-one opportunities. You know, that's something we stressed all of last year: the opportunities that these outside linebackers are going to have because of the defensive line. And then when Lorenzo Maldon got that one-on-one chance, and he produced very, very well. He had about 4 sacks and limited snaps. And towards the end of the season, when he was on that field, man, you saw in the Patriot game, he was at the Tom Brady every time he was on the field. I think he was only played like 26 snaps that game. So, I mean, he's a high-energy guy, high motor, very fast, obviously very young. I think it's a great place to start. I think right now, obviously, it's February. I think you pencil him as a starter next year if you're the Jets because, again, you know, you've seen he's got a third-round pick who the Jets had high hopes on. And I think he played pretty well his rookie year, 4 sacks and not a lot of time. You give him some help, which he didn't have really besides this defensive line. He had no help from the outside linebackers. And, you know, he's a guy who really can produce. So I think right there you start with him. Then you've got to either look at the draft or, free agency is tough. I mean, especially considering the Jets have right now, $10 to $12 million somewhere in that area in cap space, and there's so many needs. Obviously, the guy at the top of the list is Von Miller. Jets aren't going to get anyone close to that type of caliber player because he's obviously not. But I don't know, man. I would like to see them go in the draft, defensive end, outside linebacker type of deal, guys, and get to the quarterback. That's what the Jets need, man. Plain and simple. 39 sacks last year, not going to cut it.
Yeah, and really quick, too, I'm not going to get into Von Miller, him coming to the Jets, because it's basically a pipe dream at this point. There's no point even talking about it. But I did hear, I forget what radio show it was, maybe it was ESPN radio, but one of the callers, I believe, said that they would choose Wilkerson over Von Miller at this point, which is just laughable, because if you added Von Miller to this defensive line, it would be absurd. The Jets are missing that outside linebacker spot, but I think Mullen's a part of the solution, just kind of like with tight end, where we don't have as much money, where I think he kind of has to be. And in 2 years of this defense under Bowles, who's a good defensive coach, I think that he'll be playing that full-time role, even if maybe he does play 75% of the snaps, and on some third downs you have somebody else come in. But 24% of the snaps, 4 sacks, is pretty good. And he does have help from this defensive line, and he'll have that same help from this defensive line, whether Sheldon or Wilkerson or whoever's gone next year, it's still going to be an above-average defensive line. So you can see him, like guys are saying now, maybe get around that 10 sacks range next year. And we don't know yet, because we don't know who the defensive line's going to be or who the other outside linebackers are going to be, or if they get two guys. And we'll see, so that's hard to predict now before we even know the roster or draft or anything like that. But I think he has to be part of the solution. You look at free agency. I'm just going to list off some names here. You have a guy, Chad Greenway, who is kind of old now, who I wouldn't really go towards. You have a guy, Tom Bahali, who's kind of old now, too, who doesn't really do anything but rush a passer. While he does do it very good, he's still an older guy. I'd like to get younger, considering the Jets are an old team. You have a guy, Bruce Irvin, who we both discussed, who we both really would like, depending on his cap number. You have a guy, Nick Perry, from the Green Bay Packers, who's a solid guy, too, but I'm not sure if I necessarily want him as my full-time starter. And then another guy who's very interesting, come out of Alabama, or who did come out of Bama about, was it 4 years ago now? And Courtney Upshaw, kind of a slower, all-around type of guy. I'm not too sure how interested I am in him. And then in the draft, you like Vinny said, you have the Shalique Calhouns, you have a guy, Jalen Smith, Miles Jack, are probably both going to go in the top 10, at least top 15.
Yep.
And you're looking at a guy like a Leonard Floyd from Georgia, who could potentially drop to the Jets at 20. But like every year where there's a guy like a Vic Beasley, who's supposed to go late first, and he goes to the combine, blows it up, and then a top 10 pick. And same thing with Kevin White. It happens every single year where a couple guys shoot up because of the combine. And Leonard Floyd is one of those guys who's going to pop out in the combine. So, Vinny, any interest, any guys are interested out of the guys I said, and free agency, free agency too, you have Alden Smith, who I don't think the Jets will sign. I forgot to mention him.
Yeah.
But any guys' names stick out there to you?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Courtney Upshaw, and what I see in Courtney Upshaw is the younger Calvin Pace. Same build, same kind of structure, same type of player. And, Calvin Pace, when he played 8 years with the Jets, and, just a few years ago, he had 10 sacks on this team. Courtney Upshaw, coming out of school, coming out of Alabama, he was such a highly touted guy. Really didn't live it up at with the Ravens. I mean, that'd be an interesting guy. I don't think he'd require that much money. I don't know. I think the Jets need help. So I mean, they're gonna get help at the price that they can afford, which is at this point, who knows how much, $2 to $4 million. I'm not sure what they can do with the amount of cap space they have and all the holes they need to fill. But Courtney Upshaw is definitely a guy who I would like to see the Jets, give a call and, see what he requires, because that's the guy you plug in, again, with this defensive line, with this secondary. I think he can come in and fit in nicely. But then again, like you said, the combine, the draft, a lot of things happen there where players are supposed to go there. They drop out to the late second, first, you know, anything can happen at the combine.
Yeah.
So that's just right around the corner. So we'll be finding out very shortly. But Courtney Upshaw, I mean, Chad Greenway and Tom Holly, those guys are like 32, 33 years old. I don't think the Jets, you know, we already did that before. You know, we've already seen that with Calvin Pace. We've already seen that with these old guys who try to plug in and get no production out of. So I think the Jets need to get younger and they need to get faster. I mean, that's the name of the game. You look at the reason why the Broncos are on this Super Bowl. They have fast guys with packed the quarterback. Look how many times they hit Tom Brady. They said 23, 25 times they hit Tom Brady. So when you have when you have these fast young guys getting, you know, when you look at all these teams who are successful, you look at what they have. They have young, fast defensive lines, and they have, you know, solid offensive lines. The name of the game is the line. And obviously a good quarterback, but it starts with the lines. I think it really does. And when you look at the Jets, they have a very, very good defensive line, but they don't have that guy who can attack the quarterback, you know, down every down. So right now the Jets are still in look for that. And I think Courtney Upshaw can potentially help with that. You know, factor in Lorenzo Malden, all these guys, who knows what's going to happen with, you know, like you said, Wilk and Sheldon, but the Jets need help, man. It's plain and simple. They need to get younger and they need to get faster at the defensive line.
Yeah, and the Broncos are in right now because it's not even just Von Miller. You have Von Miller, and then you have a guy on the other side who is a veteran. But DeMarcus Ware is still pretty damn lethal. He's not like he was back in the early 2009, 2008 kind of area, but he's still a beast right now, and he's a veteran. And the thing with Courtney Upshaw is an interesting name to me too, because he's more of a slow all around type of guy. He's not really too good in coverage because he's so slow, and that kind of scares me a little bit with Malden, because you know Malden's a guy who's just rushing the pass right now. So if you bring in a guy like a Courtney Upshaw, you really put a lot more pressure on Malden, I think, to become an all around linebacker faster, because then he's going to have to cover probably a little bit more with Courtney Upshaw there, because Courtney Upshaw will be, you know, a big powerful guy, will be dedicated, kind of like a Terrell Suggs was. And with the Ravens, and I'm not saying he's Terrell Suggs, but, you know, getting after the passer and stopping the run, not really in coverage anywhere, which is why a name like Irvin would probably heighten my attention a little bit more, because I want that fast all-around outside linebacker like a Bruce Irvin, you know, like a younger guy, and a Telvin Smith in Jacksonville, who is one of the fastest linebackers in the league. I want one of those type of guys. Not necessarily Telvin Smith, but, you know, talking about Bruce Irving. So we'll see what happens. And obviously the names in the draft, you know, Phelan Smith, Miles Jack excite the hell out of me. And even Leonard Floyd excites me. But if I had to put a guess on it right now, I'd probably say that they're all gone by the time the Jets even draft. So I'm hoping, not getting too much into the draft, but that at that time there's a solid enough offensive tackle or a outside linebacker to take, and it is warranted the 20 pick or to trade up a couple picks or down, whatever it is. But talking about offensive tackle, and you're talking about the trenches, and I believe, like you said, you know, obviously you have quarterback, and then offensive and defensive line are probably the most next important, along with cornerback, in my opinion, especially nowadays with all the passing attacks we have. But offensive line, and if I had to rank them, Vinny, I remember I said it a couple of weeks ago, I just thought about it now. If I had to rank them on biggest needs for next season, I think it's outside linebacker, because Pace is gone. You have Trevor Riley basically right now, and Malden, in my opinion. At least with the offensive line, you have a couple guys who are solid. But in long term, I'm more worried about the offensive line, because long term you have guys like Nick Mangold, you have Ferguson. But with outside linebacker, you only have to replace one person, and then you're kind of young again. So short term outside linebacker, long term offensive line, for the people who were wondering what I would think is the number one. I remember I said it a couple of weeks ago. But what are you doing with the offensive line, man? Because I don't think, in my honest opinion, I don't think the Jets are going to get rid of DeBrickashaw Ferguson. I think that his number is going to come down from, you know, $11 million cap hit, which would be like 14 if we cut him and all that stuff. Like I said, we'll get Jason over the cap on soon to discuss that. But I think they bring him to around $8 million. He stays on the team. But then I have, you have big questions about the other side of the. We thought Winters played decently, but did the Jets make an upgrade at right guard with a guy like an Alex Boone or Ramirez from the Lions or a Brooks from the Texans? There's a couple guys who were there at guard and slash tackle in free agency. So did they get rid of that guy? At right tackle, do they cut Breno for that $4 million of cap space right there? And then you sign an Andre Smith from the Cincinnati Bengals, who's a solid guy. Barksdale from San Diego. You have guys like a Schwartz from Cleveland. Bobby Massey from Arizona, just dipping into free agency a little bit now since we are about a month away. Those are some names you can look at right tackle, right guard, slash tackle. So what do you do with the offensive line? Do you try to restructure Brick and then get a new guard and tackle, or is tackle or right tackle your number one over right guard, or you know what are you looking at for the offensive line for the Jets?
Yeah, I mean the last time the Jets took a offensive lineman in the first round was 06, back when we took Mangold and Brickishaw in the first round. So obviously, you know, I think the Jets got extremely lucky with the signing of James Carpenter. I don't think those happen too often, where you have a guy, especially at that pay rate. 4 years, you know, between $18 and $20 million. You don't get that production for $5 million a season. I mean, that's a diamond in the rough right there. The Jets got James Carpenter. So he really played. I think he played the best out of all these guys on the line. But like you're saying, man, there's so many questions. You know, do they try to bring back Willie? Is he going to retire? Who knows what's going to happen with Willie Colon? He played extremely well before he got hurt. That middle of the, you know, when you look at the Jets beginning the season, when they were riding high, when their running game was at a full force, they had those three guys, you know, leading the way: Mangold, Colon, and Big James Carpenter leading the way up the middle. So when Willie Colon went down, we saw a little bit of the production go down with Ivory, with an injuries and all that stuff. But again, this line, I mean, these tackles, I mean, what are you going to do? You really got to hope that the Jets do something with the Brickishaw Ferguson. No way they're keeping that $14 million. I think he's one of the longest tenured with Mangold, one of the longest tenured Jets. So obviously, I think there's a want of him, you know, wanting to be a Jet still. But you know, there are some guys in free agency, man. Russell Okun from Seattle. I'm hearing he isn't going to require, you know, $8 to $10 million per year. So I mean that's just a name right there. That would reunite, you know, him with Breno and James Carpenter. So it's three guys to play at Seattle. But I think when you look at this Jets offensive line, they need to do something, because the quarterback isn't getting any younger, unless they get Colin Kaepernick, but that's probably not going to happen in my opinion. But again, there's so many holes, man, because again, there's running backs position. But with this offensive line, I'm not sure if the Jets go first round pick with a right guard or a right tackle, if you want to cut and save the $4 million with Breno, which I don't think the Jets are going to do. I think the offensive line stays intact for the most part, cutting the Brickishaw's salary, hopefully in half. The Jets got to do something there. They got to create some cap space. And if he's not willing to, you know, go down, I mean, a significant amount, I think they're going to have to do something. It won't be easy, because no way they're going to keep him at $13-14 million, the highest left tackle in football, especially the way he played these last two years even. So, I mean, it's really tough. I mean, there's the guy from Buffalo, Cordy Glenn. I was reading into it. I heard he's going to get the franchise tag, though, from Buffalo. He's a beast, too. I mean, there's so much. And, like, you know, just going back to last show, this is McCagnan's only his second year, but obviously his most important one, because, you know, coming into the Jets last year, had all the money in the world, can sign whoever you want. But now when things get tough and, you know, money isn't through the roof like they had last year, there's going to be some tough decisions. So let's see what he's going to do, if he can have a backbone and, you know, really cut down on these guys that have been here for a while and, you know how the system works. So, hopefully he can do something with the Brickishaw and his money. Because there's so many holes on this team heading into the next season. Like you said, 23 free agents. There's going to have to be some change.
Yeah. Along with running back, though, honestly, man, like running back, outside linebacker, I think are the other two really big needs. If there's like four things I have to say the Jets get, is an outside linebacker, running back, and then if the line is pretty much intact next year, I'm afraid for next year. I think whether it's Brandon Wynn Winters leaving and two new guys coming in there, whether it's Brick leaving, I don't think Brick leaves because he has such a high cap number, and it's not almost just as hard, but to find a left tackle in the NFL is really, really hard. I'm not going to say it's as hard as quarterback because it's not even close to it that hard, but it's probably the second hardest position to find in the NFL to find a really consistent left tackle. And you can look at guys like Kung, like you said, from Seattle, or Donald Penn from Oakland, or Cordy Glenn, but I think he's going to get franchise tagged, as you said. But in my perfect world, the Jets kind of signed a right guard slash right tackle. You know, maybe like an Andre Smith, who's a bigger guy. Maybe like a Bobby Massey, who I know can swing inside. I believe he played guard in college, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong there, but a Brandon Brooks from the Texans. Those are three names that I'm kind of looking at right now to see what they do. And honestly, if they draft let's say they do sign one of those guys, if they draft an outside linebacker in the first round, the second round has to be a offensive tackle, whether it be, you know, a Tunsil from Ole Miss, who's probably going to be a top five pick, of Ronald Stanley, who's going to be probably a right tackle his first year coming into it from Notre Dame. You have a Conklin from Michigan State, my school. You have a Decker from Ohio State. So there's a couple names to look out for there. And obviously that will all change, like I said, about outside linebacker and all that stuff. But I think if the Jets want to be successful and they want to cover up Fitzpatrick, and that's probably why outside linebacker is the biggest need to me, because the Jets with the offensive line, they hit it sometimes where with the Patriots too, they pass it really quickly. But to give Fitzpatrick more time would be huge to let plays develop and things like that, especially with such a precise route runner and Eric Decker, that if you got, let's say, a Bobby Massey from Arizona at the right guard, and then you drafted a right tackle in the first round, that's a big piece. Two pieces out of five. And you already look at three with Carpenter, and I think Mangold's going to be here for another 3, 4, 5 years because he's going to be consistent. I don't think he's ever going to go get really, really bad. I think he'll be, you know, average at a point. But and then maybe next year you swing over a guy like a Decker to left tackle, and then boom, there's your offensive line, and then you're missing a guard. You know, so I think they have to have two new positions. Mm-hmm. at offensive line is basically my bottom line, or they're in trouble along with outside linebacker. But now moving into some other things, you know, those are the big weaknesses on the team. We, you know, pretty much agree on all that. So does every other Jets fan, that those are pretty glaring weaknesses. But now another thing that we've been hearing is Ivory came out and said, quote unquote, not sure if the Jets will keep him. He said, you know, he led to say reasons because of cap space, and he knows that they've signed some guys, and if they offer him a deal, he'd like to come back, but he's not sure if they're going to. So for a guy who had his highest touches in a season with 247 carries, 1,070 yards, 7 touchdowns, and he also had 30 receptions for 217 yards and also another touchdown through the air, or, yep, you know, receiving the ball. So he had a big year, but then there was times where he's so spotty, where he's really hot one week where he's getting like 180 yards, and there's one, and the next week he's getting, you know, 30 yards on 15 carries. So are you fine with Ivory leaving? We've talked about this before. Ivory is a tricky situation because I do like him, but what do you do with him? We're not really going to talk about Powell because we both said we want Powell back over him if we had to choose. But what do you think about Ivory saying the Jets are not sure if they are going to re-sign him? Then you look at free agency. You have guys like a Doug Martin who is injured and had 5 fumbles last year. You have a Jamie Starks who's a solid running back who I think you get a discounted price. He's a pretty good guy. Lamar Miller from Dolphins, who I really, really like because he's an all-around running back and receiver out of the backfield. I think he's underused last year, and he's a big threat, so that's probably my number one name. You have a guy in Alfred Morris, C.J. Anderson, Ronnie Hillman. And in the draft, you obviously have the guys like Ezekiel Elliott, Henry, you have Booker from Utah, you have Perkins from UCLA. There's some guys in the first couple rounds there who are good, but what do you do, man? In my personal opinion, I think they let Ivory walk. He's going to want too much, maybe four or $5 million. And I would like to see them sign a guy like a Starks from Green Bay, and then maybe draft a guy in the first four rounds and use a three-headed monster, and then see if Zach Stacy makes it in training camp. If he doesn't, you cut him. But it'd be nice to have a guy in Starks who's an all-around guy, and then a Powell who's an all-around guy, and in the draft you draft an all-around guy. It's a three-headed monster there, so. It's going to be very interesting to watch Ivory's situation in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's right now you're looking at Zach Stacy and nobody else right now. It's not pretty. So I don't think there's a chance in the world that, you know, they go in with Zach Stacy going to be their lead back, even if they re-sign Powell.
Yeah.
I think there's going to have some outside help. Obviously, I don't see them drafting. You know, in a perfect world, I would love to see them get, you know, Ezekiel Elliott or Travis Henry in the second round, third round. But those guys are just too good. One can hope that they fall to the second or third round because the Jets would love a Travis Henry, love a Ezekiel. I think those guys would fit perfectly with the Jets. But considering all the factors, I really don't think Chris Ivory will be back, unfortunately. Had a career year. He's 27. A name you mentioned is Doug Martin. I do like Doug Martin. The fumbles were an issue. The injuries are an issue. But, again, this guy, he is a stud. And the Jets need – we've seen how much they rely on the running back when they don't have the running game going, even with guys like Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, how this team struggles. You know, we've seen that, you know, a la the last game of the year when they, you know, just didn't know what was going on. The running back position had Stephen Ridley run the ball 9 times. Those things just can't happen. They need a guy. They need a lead back. I mean, it's pretty simple. You know, in the game, in today's NFL where the running back position is slowly diminishing year after year, I think the Jets still rely on the running back as much as any other team in football because they don't have a star quarterback. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick played out of his mind this year, but the odds of that happening again, I don't know what those odds are. They're not good. I mean, I would hope they're good, but I would not say he's going to repeat the year he had. Therefore, they would need the same production and if not more from the running back position, especially if you don't re-sign Chris Ivory. You know, right now, you know, again, their cap space is so tight that it's going to be tough to keep Chris Ivory. You know, he wants to get paid because he had
as tight as those pants you wear sometimes in Jets games, right?
Yeah, those tight pants. I mean, we were 4-0. We were 4-0 those tight pants. I didn't hear you complain then. But anyways, you mentioned some names. There are some interesting names. James Starks. I like Lamar Miller. I think Lamar Miller is going to ask for, if not the same amount of money, maybe even more than Chris Ivory because, again, he can catch the ball a little better than Chris Ivory. He's a little faster than Chris Ivory. And he's durable. You know, I think he played every game last year. So, I mean, that's a thing that's hard at the running back position to play. You know, if 14 games is even hard to play at the running back position because especially – the way these guys are playing, getting 18 to 20 carries a game, getting banged up, you know, how running back position is. Obviously, in a perfect world, I would love to have Chris Ivory and Bilal Powell back next year. I just think it's going to be Powell. You know, we went over this. I think it's just going to be Powell right now. But I don't know, man. It's going to be tough. You need it. You know, if we can get Derrick Henry or if we can get Ezekiel Elliott in, second or third round, Hopefully that can happen because the Jets need a lead back. You can try penciling all these guys. You can try signing a Stephen Ridley again and have him get the ball 200 times a year, but I'm not sure that's going to work. You know, you just don't know. You know what you're going to get at Chris Ivory. You know what you're going to get at Lamar Miller. You know you're going to get at Doug Martin. Those are all guys who are going to get you, you know, you give them 200 carries, they're going to get you around 1,000 yards like Chris Ivory did this year. So Jets, you know, obviously there's so many questions. Running back position is huge. But I mean, they have an opportunity to upgrade at the running back position if they let you go in the draft. I really think if they can go with Derrick Henry or Ezekiel Elliott, you know, hopefully in the second round, I think that would be an upgrade over Chris Ivory. Those guys are absolute studs. I'm not saying he's going to be one of those guys are going to be a Todd Gurley. Those things don't happen too often. So that's why, you know, I know you talked about a lot. You would never draft a running back in the first round, and the Jets shouldn't, and the Jets can't. Quite frankly, they can't draft the running back in the first round, or the second round this year. Because again, there's so many holes. It's knocking a dead hammer here. How the money is so tight. So
knocking a dead hammer. New term I've never heard before.
It's a new term, and it's something that it's going to be a problem. We talk about it now how it's the third, fourth thing, but when it comes down to draft day, when it comes down to free agency, and the Jets aren't signing Chris Ivory, the Jets aren't signing Lamar Miller, you know, the questions are going to keep coming without this running back position.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I really like to see them go in the draft, but the way things are looking right now, they can't afford to use a second-round pick on a running back.
Yeah, well, that's why when I say that you get guys who are undrafted and guys from later rounds as running backs,
yeah.
that helps a little bit. But I'm not as high as everybody is on Henry. I know why people like him, but I ever since we've had Ivory, I've been leaning more to when he does get replaced, I want a guy who can do everything. And Ezekiel Elliott's out of the question, I think, right now, as far as right now for the second round, because he's an all-around guy. He can catch, he can block, he could run through the run around the tackles. So I think he's out of the question. I'm not really a big fan of Henry. And I mentioned C.J. Anderson, Hillman. I don't really like those guys. And Morris is kind of a power runner, too, so I'm not a big fan of him. But if I had to focus on three guys, it would be Doug Martin, who's an all-around guy, who's battled some injuries. James Starks, who everybody who watches the Packers knows how valuable he is, even though he's not in a huge role on that team, and a guy in Lamar Miller. But if you can get one of those guys, Vinny, then, you know, then you can draft a guy in the fourth or fifth round. But if you don't get one of those guys, you don't sign Ivory, but you get a Powell back, you get a Stacy back by draft time, you know, in the first round. And I'm not saying that I would never take a running back in the first round. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying I never would, no matter what, even if I knew it was Adrian Peterson. But I think the Jets have to, you know, in a perfect world, take an offensive tackle and an outside linebacker in the first two rounds. But if an Ezekiel Elliott's sitting there, none of the guys I mentioned, that tackle or an outside linebacker are not there at 20, and we're just that unlucky, and Ezekiel is just sitting in our lap, you know, then you take him. But if the situation's going to fluctuate so much, if you sign a Lamar Miller and you sign a Powell, then there's not as much need to go a running back in the first couple of rounds. Maybe draft a guy late, but if they don't, then you maybe draft a guy in the first three rounds. So we'll see what happens. But in my perfect world, you sign a guy like a Starks or a Miller, and then you draft a guy in the fourth, maybe the third round, who's a speedy type of guy. That'd be nice to see. So we'll see what happens. But I think Ivory's gone. If I just had to put my finger on it now, I think he had a nice 3 years here, but I think his time is over, getting a little bit older now, a lot of injuries, at least little injuries that kind of have built up over time. Running back is going to be very, very interesting, too. It's a big piece of the team. It's a big piece of Channing Gailey's offense. So we'll see what happens with that. Vinny, another piece of news that came out this week was that Bart Scott was actually interviewed, and I forget what it was called, Vinny, but I remember on the Jets website when Bart Scott was on the team in 2009, 2010, they had like a Bart Scott interview every week. It was like a little segment. I forget what it was called.
Yep.
But they basically did that again, and his headlines, you know, I didn't really watch it, but I heard the headlines that he basically said that the Jets' defensive schemes left Revis helpless, and he went on to say that, you know, even with Deion Sanders, they disguise it a little bit, and there's ways to disguise it, so you don't just put him on an island, they know it's just one-on-one with him and things like that. So do you kind of agree with Bart Scott that the Jets did leave Revis helpless and that he was locked up one-on-one too much with no help and things like that? Because if I just put my finger on it, I probably agree with Bart Scott that the Jets did leave him, you know, one-on-one. We saw it with the Texans game with Hopkins. We saw it with the Bills game both times with Watkins, even with the Jaguars with Allen Robinson, the Raiders with Amari Cooper. There's a whole bunch of times where I'm not saying he's not a top five corner in the league, because I still think he is, but even the top five corners in the league with the rules with touching with the defense and not be able to grab it for 5 yards and barely shoving all that stuff, it's smart to put at least a spy or somebody over top just to at least look at him for a little bit, or jam at the line, or just something to help him, but he was never helped. So I do agree with Bart Scott that the Jets' D, their schemes, and Todd Bowles is a guy to blame for this, because you can't just let Todd Bowles, even though it's his first year, to skate by scotch-free, because his schemes with Revis did bother me sometimes. You saw the Patriots, when the Patriots were successful with him, there was some games where they were putting him on the number two guy, completely wiping out the number two guy, and then the number one guy would be doubled, which is also a very smart thing to do. But in some shape or form, whether it's putting Revis on the number two guy or giving him some help over top with the number one guy, I do agree with Bart Scott that the Jets defense did leave Revis helpless, and hopefully next year he does get that help that he needs.
Yeah, you know, I was reading over that interview, and he goes on to say that if you're going to leave a guy on an island, you better get to the quarterback fast. And he was saying that they don't have a pass rusher, which is true. They don't have they don't have a Bombo, they don't have a DeMarcus Ware, they don't have any of those guys, you know, even close to that caliber, you know, outside rushing the quarterback. So if it doesn't matter. If it's going to be Revis, it can be anybody. If you're going to leave somebody out on an island, you better get to the quarterback fast, because these receivers are just too good. I mean, we've seen that, you know, last game of the year. And then, you know, going back to just to the scheme in general, You know, that last game, you know, it bothered you, it bothered me, it bothered everybody, because they would have Revis play 10 yards off with safety help, and it made no sense, and then they would have Revis pressed up with no help over it. I mean, some of the things that they did with Revis on, you know, fast receivers, like a Sammy Watkins, like a DeAndre Hopkins, some of the things he did were mind-baffling, and, you know, you'd have Calvin Pace trying to rush the quarterback against a fast guy, and then having Revis man-on-man on Sammy Watkins and have Tyrod Taylor have all day and obviously complete a pass every third down, it seemed like, that last game of the year. So some of the schemes with Todd Bowles, you know, we hear he's a defensive guru. They had 39 sacks with this secondary. That's something they got to improve on, obviously. You hear that he knows, you know, he makes players do, you know, absurd things. You hear him, you know, revolutionize the secondary in Arizona. I mean, we've seen that, you know, we've seen the improved play of Calvin Pryor. We've seen what Marcus Gilchrist did. And I attribute that a lot to Coach Bowles, because, I mean, we didn't know what we were going to get out of those two guys entering the season. Those two guys played a hell, you know, they had a hell of a year. But then you look at a lot of the things that struggled on this defense, mainly getting to the quarterback. That's something that has plagued the Jets for 5-6 years now. You know, it feels like the Jets haven't had a real legitimate natural pass rusher in quite some time.
John Abraham.
10 years. You mentioned John Abraham, Sean Ellis. Those guys were the last two guys. That's 0-4. That's 0-4 right there.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
somebody was asking me about Sean Ellis the other day. And, dude, I a lot of people love him, but when he left and he said that he never felt at home with the Jets and he feels at home with the Patriots, wherever he said, I forget the direct quote, I just can't love him as all the Jets fans do. That's kind of the biggest slap in the face you could possibly do to Jets fans to say the Patriots are home when the Jets never did feel like home. So Sean Ellis can go screw himself. Really like him, but hey, whatever you want to say. But John Abraham is
the
last pass
rusher
the Jets had.
That's the original big cat right there, baby. Easy.
I don't care. But well, really off topic, Vinny, was your quote before beating a dead hammer?
Yeah, I believe so.
That
yeah,
it kind of sounds like a Viagra commercial, some type of Viagra commercial.
It is.
I doubt it. We should probably make it and pitch it to them. Beating a dead hammer.
Copyrighted.
Let's get back on topic here. Don't want to get into that, but you know. I agree, man, but you made a good point that Bowles helped the safeties a lot, and people have to give him credit there, too, where people give him a lot of – or, you know, put a lot of things against him for timeouts and things like that, being a first-time head coach. But you're 100% right that Calvin Pryor coming to last year was a bust. Most people thought he was a bust, which was absurd in my opinion. And if people were saying, no, there wasn't a lot of Jets fans who thought he was a bust. There was like 75% of people that I talked to and saw on Twitter were calling Calvin Pryor a bust. And then with Marcus Gilchrist, he was a huge, huge, probably the biggest personal question mark I had in the offseason. So for them to come out and both play so well, you have to give Bulls credit there. But you know, at the same time, I still think they left Revis alone, and we'll see what happens with that if he starts to get help next year. But getting off of that, Vinny, the next little news thing we got this last past week was that the Jets are meeting with Aaron Henderson. We're not sure if it's completely sure. Obviously, they can't sign him until a couple of weeks from now, but they can kind of under-the-table agreement where they kind of shake hands. They'll tell anybody about it. But supposedly, the Jets and Aaron Henderson's agents are meeting up. They're trying to get a long-term deal done. Aaron Henderson came out, said he wants to be back with the Jets. The Jets have came out and expressed interest in bringing him back and how big he was to the team down the stretch. So there's mutual interest from both sides. You know, what do you expect a number for, and I know we talked about it last week, but let's just reiterate, you know, what do you think a number from Henderson should be around? I'm pretty sure we're both happy that he is deciding to come back. And like I said, if he's our starting out linebacker or middle linebacker next to David Harris for another year or two, then I'm happy with that because I really do like the way he played. But, you know, I'm happy with it. I don't know how you feel. And goodbye, DeMario Davis.
Oh, yeah. Farewell, DeMario Davis. Man, it's safe to say he will not be back. Now, Aaron Henderson, again, we talked about this a little bit last week. He had, you know, a lot of tackles in limited time. I didn't think he had that many tackles. And, you know, it seemed like in not that many snaps. So, considering he's only 29, he'll be 30 at the start of the season, but he had a year off before this year, so I'm not really sure, you know, how his body is. I mean, it looked pretty well to me last year. He was making a lot of plays, especially on special teams. And say you do give him that starting nod, I would expect him to have a, you know, close to 100 tackle season, because he's a guy who's very productive. I'm not sure what the percentage of snaps. And my guess would be in the 20s or 30%, the percent range, because he, you know, Demario Davis had 100 tackles and he was on the field way too longer than he should have been. But that's neither here nor there. Hopefully, you know, we never see Demario Davis do that stupid celebration like he did at the end of the Buffalo game ever again. But, you know, Aaron Henderson, he's a guy, you know, when you look at this linebacker position, it's very thin. You got David Harris, and then who else? You know, they need help there, and they can't spend too much money on, you know, on a premier linebacker. Aaron Henderson, I think, is a nice fit. You know, you're telling me to give you a price range. I would like to see him get him a two-year. I would say between 2 years, I'd say his average salary, his yearly salary, between $2 and $4 million, somewhere in that range. Say $2 million base salary with you know, all those incentives that they can do with tackles or sacks. You know, something along those lines. If you get that much, you know, that much production out of him, so I would love to see Aaron Henderson back. You know, that was one of the. Now, that's not going to be a flashy headline. That's not going to make the front page of any newspaper. But that's something that, you know, we know is very important to this team, especially the way he played and the way that this Jets linebacker position has played. They haven't played well, and, you know, there's been a few bright spots, Aaron Henderson being one of them. So I'd love to see him back on a, you know, 1 to 2 year deal between $2 and $4 million yearly salary, because he deserved it. He had, what, 49 tackles, something like that, and very limited time. And he can play special teams. So, you know, that, just add that to have the versatility to, you know, to stop the run, to, you know, put him in some pass rushing situations. He's a little faster than Calvin Pace, but then again, who isn't faster than Calvin Pace? So it's a position the Jets need help in. They can't spend that much money on, considering they only have $11 million right now to really sign anybody. So they gotta keep him for sure. Because, again, there's, you know, these guys, this is a hard position to, you know, assess, the linebacker position. You got David Harris, who's been a rock for the Jets for 10 years now, almost, anyway, 8 years, whatever it is, 31, 32 years old. Aaron Harrison's a guy who last year, when his name was called, he played pretty damn well. So I'd like to see him back for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Goodbye, Demario Davis. He was terrible this year. I've never been a big fan of him. I don't have to talk about him any more than I already have. If people listen to our show weekly, people know how I feel about him, so I'm happy he is most likely gone. Aaron Henderson did play a very limited snaps until the end of the season. He showed a lot. I would be happy with a number, like you said, maybe $2.5 million to $3.5 million. I think he'll be around per year. Nice, like, 2 year, $7.5 million deal for Aaron Henderson. If the Jets are expecting that they want him to be a starter next year, and they're getting rid of Demario Davis, they don't have to sign him back. I think that's a fair number. Maybe the second year, not guaranteed and incentive laced, like you said. We'll see what happens. But it would be nice to see him back, and it's important to this defense, because, like you said, if the Jets had that $60 million or so dollars I had last year, then no, it wouldn't be as necessary to sign Aaron Henderson, because you just go into free agency and sign somebody else. But finding a in-house guy that we brought in off the streets because he was out of football for a year, and bringing him back after a limited role, so he's not going to want, you know, $6 million a year, because guess what, he only had 40 tackles, but he showed it. So we're going to get him at a discount rate still to what he's worth, in my opinion, and I think that's a good thing to lock him up for 2, maybe potentially even 3 years. And you see where he goes, where the second or third year doesn't really hurt you to cut him. So I'm happy he's going to come, or most likely come back, and Demario Davis is gone. And now, you know, our last topic before I do want to get, you know, at least a 2 minute segment in about the Pro Bowl, what you thought about the Pro Bowl and then the Super Bowl. But something we heard right before we got on the show, Vinny, Colin Kaepernick, I'm not for it. I'm just going to be, you know, short and sweet. He's a multi-dimensional guy. People remember him from, you know, the Green Bay in the playoffs where he beat them at Green Bay, and he was up and coming, and he, you know, went to the Super Bowl, and he, people are saying he has a bad team around him, bad talent, bad offensive line, so maybe he's going to be something. But when I watch him, I see a lot of the really bad accuracy, the really, really poor decisions, no matter who your receivers are. And at the same time, he has a bunch of money tied up into him right now. I know that right now he's going to cost $15.9 million against the 49ers cap if they save him. I mean, if they cut him, they save $8.5 million. So maybe they cut him and the Jets bring him in. But then there's teams like the Browns, like some other teams who need quarterbacks, who will probably jack up the price there a little bit. And then you're in a situation where you're going to sign two off, you know, quarterbacks. You're going to sign Kaepernick for around, I don't know, where to go around for $4 million, let's say. And then a Fitzpatrick for 9 or 10. So you have two quarterbacks going to camp. Who are you giving the snaps? And then at the same time, on top of that, it's not like they're the same quarterback. So you're going to have to run two different offenses, basically, because with Fitzpatrick, it's a quick release, West Coast type of offense. And then you have a Kaepernick who's more of a pistol read option type of guy. So they don't fit the scheme together. It's too much money to bring in two quarterbacks right now. Fitzpatrick's the answer. You bring back Fitzpatrick, you let Geno and Petty back him up, and maybe you find an answer in the draft, even the first round, Vinny, which people are talking about really quick. Just if a Carson Wentz is there at 20 and the Jets are really high on him and they think he's going to be the answer for years and years and years, I've been hearing Jets fans say, well, no, we need other things. And I understand you'd like to get the offensive tackle or the outside linebacker who's going to make an impact now, but if the Jets were in love with one of these quarterbacks and they saw him at number with their first pick, then you take him, you let him develop for a year or two, and then you build around him in a year or two, because people are saying it's a win-now team, but guess what? You need a quarterback regardless. So if you see that quarterback, it'd be stupid not to take him. But you know, what do you think about Kaepernick? His last year, he had 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 2014, 3,369 yards, 19 touchdowns, 10 picks. 2013 was a really good year, or it was a pretty solid year for him. Almost 3,200 yards, 21 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. So I say no, because of the difference in schemes for them, too much money going to quarterback, and I'm not a big fan of Kaepernick. I'm just not.
Yeah, well, I mean, you mentioned bringing in two quarterbacks. They can't. Obviously, it's one or the other. There's no way you're going to sign Fitzpatrick, who's 33, for a one-year deal, two-year deal. And Kaepernick. Kaepernick's not, he's not that young. He's 28 years old. He'll be 29 come November. So that's right, you know, 8 games into the season. He's 29 years old. And, again, a guy who runs a lot, who knows what his body's like. I believe he just got surgery this year. That's why he was out. That's why he was sidelined for the rest of the year. But Kaepernick, I mean, Kaepernick's interesting, man. It's very interesting. He's a guy who has a stronger arm. He's faster. He's younger. At a pure talent base, I think he's more talented than Fitzpatrick. I don't think the decision making is even close to Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's why obviously the choice is easy. Bring the work that Ryan Fitzpatrick put in this last season, or you know, setting every record possible for a Jets quarterback in franchise history. So I would, it's interesting, especially for a guy who, if these reports are true and he wants to be here. I think the Jets, I think they would have to have him, at least bring him in for something. It would be silly not to, especially considering, hey, you never know. I mean, obviously he's had the struggles in the past. Well, you know, who knows what was going on there in San Francisco. But this is a guy who's interesting. He's still young, 28 years old, 29 years old. He'll be. You never know. You just don't know. Obviously, in my opinion right now, I would choose Ryan Fitzpatrick to lead this team for another year or two. But then again, you just don't know. I mean, you've seen the flashes with Kaepernick going to those Super Bowls. So he's a guy who has all the physical talent in the world. You pair him up with Decker, with Marshall, with Amaro, give him some peace at the running back position. Who knows what can happen? I think the Jets would be stupid not to at least give a call out, see what's going on there. See if, you know, I know McCagnan's probably in contact. As soon as he's allowed to talk to the San Francisco guys, I think he will, especially if they cut him, like you said, because no way they would trade for him. Obviously that would never happen. But say you bring him in and he's a cheap option, because Fitzpatrick is going to want that $10 to $12 million or whatever, you know, whatever we think he's going to get. I mean, if you can bring a guy in like Colin Kaepernick for cheap, say $4 million, like you said, that changed a lot, especially considering the amount of money the Jets have to spend. There's a lot of factors that go into it. So the first answer that comes to mind is no. But I think when you really think about it and really look at everything, they have to at least, you know, go into the situation a little more in depth and just at least, you know, talk about it. I mean, I know how we feel about Fitzpatrick. We love the guy. We didn't think he would come in and do the things he did, but hey, it's a business. You know, we're going to talk about money because that's what the nature of this game is. It's everything is so based off money. It sucks, but it's the way it is sometimes.
Yeah, I'm still sticking with Kaepernick. Different offense. I'm just not a big fan. And for the people who are just discounting him so easily, just no, there's no way. But if this is a guy from, if this is Kaepernick 2013 Kaepernick, then yeah, you know, maybe. But the Jets would be stupid not to kick the tires at least, because let's say the guy does want true. I'm not going as high as $4 million, Vinny, because honestly, $4 million is too much in my opinion, because $4 million is a new guard potentially. Look how cheap James Carpenter came in for. Guard could be an outside linebacker, you know, so that's too high for me. But if a guy wanted 2 years, $2 million a year, maybe you kick the tires. I still don't think I would like to do it, but for a team who's been looking for a quarterback for so long, and yet they found a short-term solution in Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's not even the best quarterback out there. Let's be honest, 31 touchdowns, 15 picks, it's good, but it's nowhere over the top. It's mid-tier to below mid-tier. That's a lot of interceptions. So he was good, very, very limited, and I'm not getting on him, but or I am getting on him, but I still like him as a person. He's not the greatest quarterback the Jets have ever had. He maybe by touchdowns because of Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker and the offense he was in, but he's still capable. But Kaepernick, I would say no, kick the tires. If the Jets really, really like something where he gives them really, really cheap, which is really weird to hear that the Jets are a wanted spot to go to.
Right.
But you look at Chan Gailey, his offense, which people got on him some points this year, but overall he's been the best offensive coordinator I've seen here in a couple of years, and we'll see where he goes next year. But I liked what he was doing. But yeah, Brandon Marshall, Decker. So that's weird. But I'm not a big fan. I would rather not see that happen. Save that $2 million for potentially a Wilk franchise tag. So you need all the money you can get for that. But I'm saying nay. But now that we're done with the Jets topics here, Vinny. Jets topic. See that? It timed up a little bit better. We're actually gonna get some new ones. We've had the same ones for about a year and a half since I've been doing the show. I see on the side, and we're gonna get some new ones. Maybe that's Jerry's project, or not Jerry. I keep saying it, man.
Wow.
Nick's project for this week, dude. Nick, see, I'm sorry, Nick did that. Jerry was here for like a year before you, so I apologize. make me feel like an ass. That's great. But Vinny, we're done with the Jets topics. We talked about Ivory. We talked about the running backs, the offensive linemen, the tight ends, the everything. We didn't get into Wilkerson. We're getting into Wilkerson next week, and next week we'll get into some Sheldon or Wilkerson conversations. Maybe we'll do the top plays of the season. Maybe something like
hey,
that.
Why
we'll
not?
Something. But what do you think about the Pro Bowl, man? It was a blowout score. Team Irvin won. 41 Pro Bowlers were replaced. You didn't see guys like Cam, like Aaron Rodgers, nobody from the Patriots, just Jets themselves. You didn't see Marshall, Wilkerson, Revis. There was guys who, like, it's supposed to be the Pro Bowl, which is supposed to be best of the best. You see the best people. But it was like kind of like the solid guys in the NFL, like the slightly above average guys, like the, you know, Derek Carrs, the guys like that who were in even the Ivories. And it's just – It was bad, man. Do you think the Pro Bowl, like, did you watch it? I probably watched like 14 snaps. And I think the NFL needs to change it. I don't think it necessarily needs to. They either change it, in my opinion, or it goes away, because it's really, really poor. The Pro Bowl is bad, man. It's not fun to watch at all. Where at least in baseball, it's a little bit fun to watch. Hockey, it's all right, 'cause they have skills competitions. And basketball, they actually tried decently hard, because that's like the biggest thing about them for the year. So Pro Bowl, while it does draw in, like they were saying, the 5-point ratings, which is like 8 million people watching them, they're embarrassing, man. The Pro Bowl is
terrible. It was like one of the lowest watched ever. If not I didn't watch the Pro Bowl because it's a joke. It doesn't mean anything. You talk about baseball. I mean, baseball's All Star Game is great because it's incentive, because whoever wins the All Star Game, whatever league wins the All Star Game in baseball, that's what team gets home field advantage in the World Series. So they obviously would try harder. But the Pro Bowl is
and really quick, Vinny, it's actually really interesting that you bring that up, because then you get into the conversation of, do you make the Pro Bowl in the middle of the season? Because obviously, you know, if it's before the championship game and home field advantage and things like that, it's not like they go back and forth. They meet up in a mutual spot, so you can't really do that. But then you're playing in the middle of the season, nobody is going to try. They're, like, in the Pro Bowl now, they don't even try hard, but if it's at week 7 or 8, they're not going to try hard at all, because they're not risking injury for the next season. And how
weak
the week NFL is, where you can get an, be on a
Hello?
New team next year.
You play to win.
But, you know, what do you think, man?
There's going to be a Pro Bowl.
Simple.
There should be no Pro Bowl. It's very simple. The game is a joke. There should be maybe like a skills competition like they do in hockey, but no game or something. Because, I mean, when you have freak athletes like Odell Beckham, you know, that would be something cool. You know, throw deep balls, see how many one-handed – you know, do something that people would actually watch and, you know, they would have fun with. Because this game is a joke. You know, had Richard Sherman back there on offense, you know, doing reverses. You know, that's just stupid. I mean, that's the thing that just makes me angry. I didn't even watch it. I saw a highlight, and that gave me more incentive to not watch it, because it was just stupid. The game should not be played. And again, you said 41 replacements. Brandon Marshall came out and said the Pro Bowl doesn't mean anything, because it doesn't. The Pro Bowl is a joke. And you know, I think I watched the Pro Bowl like one or two times ever, because it's so stupid. It's just very dumb, and they don't try. You know, and it's just not fun. So, you know, I don't like the Pro Bowl, never will, and I don't think I ever will. I will never like the Pro Bowl. This is a joke. But hey, that's just me. Like, I would like to see a skills competition, you know, longest field goals, things like that. You know, that'd be pretty fun, I think.
Yeah, no, dude, that's a great point. And honestly, I didn't think about that, because college does have that, but if you can alter it a little bit where, you know, you take the top 5 quarterbacks in the league and, let's say, because there are going to be guys still who, like Tom Brady, who just lost, they're not going to want to go to the Pro Bowl next week, or the skills competition, as you call it, just kind of like basketball. But, you know, you have guys who are trying to hit garbage cans and moving carts, like a Drew Brees and Cam Newton and things like that. And then for the field goal kickers, you go 20, 30, 40, 50, then you continue with 50, see how many they can make, and receivers, one-handed catches and things like that. That'd be pretty cool. Defensive linemen doing some defensive line drills, who can do it the fastest time, et cetera. That'd be awesome. I think that's a way to fix it, because if that was the case, I would watch it. I'll be 100% honest. I don't watch it now, but if I saw them throwing bolts, the garbage cans, and going head-on-head with certain things like that, they're going to get competitive, where at least they're going to want to win, and maybe – the guys who participate get 20,000, and the guy who wins the singular event, maybe you have 10 events, they get $50,000, you know, just make it a little bit higher of an incentive to win. So that would be pretty cool, and I think that's a solution you could try out for a year or two, but the Pro Bowl game like it is now is an absolute joke. I know it draws higher than any show, you know, Family Guy on Cartoon Network at that time, whatever was on at that time, but at the same time, it just kind of makes the NFL look stupid, even though they're making so much money off of stupid Pro Bowl games. But last topic, Vinny, the Super Bowl, man. We are tied up at 31-18, dead even. So the Super Bowl, I know we both agreed to take different teams, but, you know, what do you think? Who wins? Me and you are going to have a busy weekend, because for people who live around me, I don't know if you do, me and Vinny are going to Red Bank for my birthday on Thursday, which will be pretty fun, and then we're going to Pennsylvania for, you know, 2 days for a little Super Bowl event and weekend, so that's going to be freaking awesome. So our whole weekend's going to be based around the Super Bowl right now. So what do you think we're going to watch in that game? And I know I'm wearing my Jericho Cotchery signed Titans jersey there. I can already feel it.
Hey, I like it. I like Jayco. I like the Panthers, I like the Broncos, but when I look at this game, my gut is saying the Panthers, but I'm having a hard time betting against the Broncos just because of this front, man. Their defense is good. When you have guys like Wolf, you have guys like Von Miller, you have the Aqib Talib, you have the DeMarcus Ware's. This defense is no joke, and you know we're seeing everything. How this is gonna be Peyton Manning's last game. I think the old man has one game left in him. I think the old guy has one more hidden gem in him. Especially, I mean, he has a lot of talent on it. CJ Anderson's running the ball pretty well. Ronnie Hillman is there too, you know, a little speed back. But they got two of the top 20 receivers, two of the top 30 receivers, I'd say, in football. When you have Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, who knows? I think the Broncos win this. I think it's gonna be close. I'm kind of thinking it's gonna be a nice little overtime. I'm feeling the overtime. I'm not feeling that the Denver Broncos are gonna have a safety in the first play of the Super Bowl like they did last time. But hey, it's hope not. But
yeah.
I think Peyton Manning will be the one, you know, dancing in the end zone there when this game's over.
Oh, all right, I like that. But I'm rooting for the Panthers. I just think that the Patriots last week against the Broncos, they were very one-dimensional where they had to get rid of the ball quickly. So they didn't have a running game, and I think the Panthers with their running backs and with Cam trying to run it, that's two different running options. You have guys like Olsen, you have guys and Ted Ginn who are fast, who could burn corner, or he could burn a corner even if he's not as good as them, he still has the jets. So I think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Panthers do take it at the end because I think their offense is too prolific, and I think Cam Newton's one of the best players in the NFL right now, and the Broncos have been relying heavily on their defense to win games where the teams are playing the playoffs aren't even scoring like
one more, baby.
Points.
One more
what
game.
Are the average? What are the average? What is it?
For what?
Okay, I thought you were giving me the answer here, but in the playoffs they're scoring what, like 17 points a game? Their teams are playing, so I think the Panthers are too good of an offense to score that little points. And I think the Panthers are the best defense they've seen so far by far. They're a lot better than the Patriots, and they're a lot better than the Steelers, in my opinion, in the playoffs. So it'll be an interesting game, and I'll definitely be rooting for the Panthers. And hopefully my boxes come alive. I bought some $5
boxes. Time.
I have 8-5. I have I have 7-2. I have 5-9, and I have 0-4. 7-2 and 0-4 are decent. So we'll see what happens there. I'll be looking out for that. That'll be fun. But I'm gonna predict the score. I'm gonna say. Did I say 0-4 before? I'm gonna say 24 Panthers, 20 Broncos, and then I will take the crown home of Jet Nation Radio, Giovanni and the Jets picks of the week. So, and Jerry, I called you Jerry again. Nick will always have it on me. Dude, I will stop that eventually. Oh, man. Jerry doesn't know I like Nick better than him. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Vinny, but what would your score be if you had to guess the score? I'm saying 24-20 Carolina Panthers. What do you think if you had to pick one?
I'm saying it's going to be a shootout, old-fashioned shootout, baby.
What?
I'm feeling 38-35 Broncos,
shootout.
Baby. 8-5 though. 8-5. You will win the box. You will split that box because it's gonna be Broncos 38, and then the Panthers 35. Baby, I'm feeling it.
All right, fourth quarter. I believe I win $225. So that'd be nice. But really quick news before we go. We talked about the waiver. I give you the guys the dates. We literally talked about a lot of things this episode, which is nice to do when there's nothing really going on actually. But the Jets actually did just hire a special teams coordinator who have time to really research, but his name is Brant Boyer from the Colts. He was there as an assistant special teams coach with the Colts for his first four years coaching intern with the Giants and Browns following a 10-year playing career. He was a special teams player for the Jaguars from 95 to 2000, Browns from 2001 to 2003, and at one time served as a captain in both Jacksonville and Cleveland. He played 129 career games. So you see another guy like the running backs coach, like a whole bunch of defensive or coaches on the Jets are ex-players, which I do like. So we have a new hire, a special teams coordinator. I will look that up and we'll talk about that more next week, how much success he's had and things like that. But just some news there, Vinny. I don't think you know anything about him. People don't know anything about special teams guys unless they're really top notch, but it's nice to see they hired somebody so early. We'll see what that leads into, but any last words for our fans here? And like I said, we are getting a lot of listeners a week, and I can say it proudly, thousands of people, which is freaking awesome, man. Any words to them? Because I appreciate everybody out there. It's really awesome.
Oh, you know, every supporter and listener we have out there, we can't thank enough. You know, we put a lot of time and effort into this. And when we have you guys listening and chiming in, tweeting at us, calling at us, whatever the case may be, just listening, you know, at work even, you know, we thank you sincerely because, again, it's just two of us, but there's millions of us. There's millions of Jet fans out there. And, you know, we're just trying to give, you know, our 2 cents of the team because, hey, we're a fan just like all you guys. So we just, you know, we thank you. We can't, you know, words can't say enough how much we thank you guys. So, hey, keep listening. Hey, we're almost, you know, the dog days, we're just starting the dog days, but hey, we'll, soon enough it'll be draft time. Soon enough it'll be, you know, the August and preseason. We're around the corner. So, you know, just hang around there, you know, a few more months and, you know, we'll be back right into the heat and thick of things.
Yeah. By the next time Tuesday we're doing a show, we'll be a little bit more than 2 weeks away from the combine. But think about it, after next week, you only got like 2 more weeks to start talking about combine, and then a couple weeks after that, you got the NFL free agency, and then the draft, and then you get into training camp. So we're through a hard part, which is playoffs, and we're getting into the solutions and what we're going to do and who we're going to draft. Which football is a year round thing, because there's always things going on at every single time in an NFL season, even if it is the off season. So we'll be back next week. We'll talk, like I said, maybe we'll do some top plays. We'll do Sheldon and Wilkerson. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll recap the Super Bowl. We'll talk about some other things that have come up. But like Vinny said, we do appreciate everybody who listens, even though we don't get a whole bunch of callers. There are many, many people who are listening. And like you said, even if you're just listening on your way to work or at work or doing whatever you're doing, to see that number that we're at every single week or close to every week, it's impressive. And we thank everybody so much for listening to us. We'd like to thank Nick for doing the behind the scenes. Yeah. Hopefully Nick can do some more. We'll figure out something with him, or maybe I'll do it. We'll get some more sounds into here. Like I said, JetNation.com forums. Send us an email at JoeAndVinny@JetNation.com if you want to tell us anything or topics or anything like that. Check me on Twitter, JoeRB31, Vinny@VinLotto26. No, that's it. We appreciate everybody. We'll see you next week, Tuesday, 8 o'clock, which we'll have some more Jets talks for you. So thank everybody for listening, and we will see you next week.
Peace.